You may be seated. If you have your copy of the Lord's Scripture, if you would, turn to Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5. And our text this morning is taken from verses 13 through 15. Joshua chapter 5, and we'll read verses 13 through 15. Now when it came about, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked. Behold, a man was standing opposite him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" He said, "No. Rather, I indeed come now as captain of the host of the Lord." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and bowed down and said to him, "What has my Lord to say to his servant?" The captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, "Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. The word of our Lord. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning asking that your word would speak to us. Lord, we are in desperate need to hear your word. And I pray that you would take what you have given to us and use it in a mighty way. Lord, open our ears to hear, our eyes to see. Give us hearts of receptance of what you would speak to us this morning. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, any day can bring with it an extraordinary event in our lives as it relates to our relationship with Jesus Christ. What do I mean by that? The Lord may speak to us, for example, in a very poignant way through His Word that stirs our emotions to heights of joy, perhaps, or peace that we so desperately need. He may reveal something to us through His Word, perhaps, that enheightens or lightens our love for Him and His love for us. He may, for example, move us through the power of His Holy Spirit that indwells us so that we long to see Him as He is, face to face. Has that ever happened to you? So these things reflect a real relationship with a real person in Jesus Christ. And in the passage we read this morning, for Joshua, Christ Himself appears to him and reveals himself to Joshua in a very special way. And I'll tell you, I love to read in the Old Testament where Christ chooses to reveal himself to someone in a pre-incarnate way. And what that means is he reveals himself to someone in the Old Testament prior to him coming and being born of a woman to Mary in Bethlehem. And we see this more times than you may think. For example, in Genesis 16, it was the Lord Christ Himself who appeared to Hagar, Sarah's handmaid, and He comforts her as she had been sent away from Abraham and Sarah. In Genesis 18, it is Christ Himself who comes and appears to Abraham with the two angels to announce the impending birth of His son Isaac. In Genesis chapter 3, it is Christ Himself who appears to Moses in the burning bush and commissions him to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. In the passage we just read this morning, if you may recall from last week, the children of Israel have now crossed the Jordan on dry ground, and they are camped in the plains of Jericho. And Joshua himself, perhaps as he was praying, or he was meditating upon the Word of God, or perhaps he was surveying the city of Jericho, trying to find the best place to strike, the eternal Christ, the Son of the living God, comes to Joshua, if you can imagine. And so if you will, allow me, I'd like just to consider three aspects of Christ coming to Joshua. Okay, we're going to look at His appearance, we'll consider His mission, and then thirdly, His essence. So how does Christ appear to Joshua? What about his appearance there? Look at verse 13 again. And it says, "And now it came about when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand." And so we see first that Christ came to Joshua. Christ came to Joshua. Now we know the Lord had established Joshua as a recognized leader of the nation of Israel after Moses. He had firmly placed the responsibility of the people of Israel squarely upon Joshua's shoulders. And having done that, in the way we know Joshua, right, one can well imagine Joshua meditating upon God's charge that we talked about last week to be strong and courageous. Strong and courageous. And also perhaps he was thinking about God's promise that he would never leave Joshua. He would always be with him wherever he goes. We saw that from Joshua 1 verse 9 last week. And beloved, that's how it is with God and his people. It's exactly that way. He comes to us and he claims us for his own. He comes to us and he claims us. Never think for a moment, we should never think this way, that in any way we could ever muster enough spiritual insight in our own that by ourselves we would come to Christ for salvation. He comes to us. He draws us to himself and he calls us his own. And it's when we respond to his calling in true repentance from our sin, in true faith in what he has done for us in his life and his death and his resurrection, that then we are called truly his people. The Lord speaks to this in John chapter 6. Let me read just verse 39. And Jesus says this, "This is the will of him who sent me, that all that he has given me I will lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day." And he says, "This is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day." So the eternal Son of God, Almighty God, who has already and always been with Joshua, now reveals himself to Joshua in a very tangible way. The Son of God reveals himself to Joshua in the form of a man. Verse 13, a man was standing opposite him, opposite Joshua. Now again, keep in mind, this is not the incarnate Jesus of Nazareth. This is the pre-incarnate Christ. He has not been born as Jesus of Nazareth at this point in the New Testament, in which he will be done in the fullness of the times. This is the pre-incarnate Christ who reveals himself to Joshua. Now, this is important for us to understand. And let me refer to another passage in the scripture that helps clarify this, I hope. In 2 Kings chapter 6, you don't have to turn there, but in 2 Kings chapter 6, it was a time of war between Syria and Israel. And so the Lord, amazingly, would reveal to the prophet Elisha where the king of Syria had planned to strike the nation or the armies of Israel. And this happened more than once. You know, the king of Syria would plan to attack a certain place that he thought the nation or the armies of Israel would be. Elisha warned the king of Israel, "Don't go there." They didn't go there, and the Syrian attack was thwarted. And as you can imagine, the Syrian king became a little frustrated by this. He didn't understand it. And he went to his generals and he said, which one of you is betraying me? Who is betraying me? And then one of them had enough courage to say to him, "No one's betraying you, our king." What's happening is Elisha tells the king of Israel everything that we know and that you know. He even tells them, "What you speak in your bedroom. We have nothing to do with this." And the king of Syria said, "Enough of this." And so he decided, "I will send my army and I will encircle Elisha and I'll deal with this guy." And that's what he did. He sent his army to the city of Dothan where Elisha was living. The army surrounded the little house where Elisha was staying, and the servant of Elisha went out and saw this great army, and he went to Elisha and he said, "Alas, oh Elisha, we're in big trouble. The armies of Syria have surrounded us." And Elisha simply says this. He says to his servant, "Do not fear." He said, "For those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elijah prayed at that moment. He asked the Lord to open the eyes of his servant. And the Lord did. And behold, the scripture tells us that there stood the angelic realm, a mountain full of chariots and horses of fire of the Lord, who completely surrounded the army of the Syrians. You see, it's interesting. The scripture describes the angelic realm as the host of the Lord. The host of the Lord. This is the army of the Lord who fights against our enemy. This is the army of the Lord, the host of the Lord that we may never see. But you know what? They are here. They protect us. They surround us. And so the eternal Son of God, Christ Himself, reveals Himself to Joshua in this way for a specific purpose. Where He says, as Joshua prepares to lead this army into battle, to conquest the land of Canaan, the Lord had promised to the descendants of Abraham, as Joshua begins to lead this army, Christ Himself makes very clear, Joshua, this is not your army. This is mine. And God the Son, in the form of a man, comes to Joshua with a sword drawn in his hand. He's ready to do battle. He's ready to fight for his people. And so the Lord comes to Joshua. But he also comes to Joshua with a mission. He comes to Joshua with a mission. Verse 13. And Joshua went to him and said to him, get this, are you for us or for our adversaries? He said. And the Christ returns, no, rather indeed I come now as captain of the host of the Lord. Now this is interesting. What is Joshua assuming here? He sees this man with a sword drawn in his hand. What is he assuming? Well, we know for one thing, Joshua is preparing for war. He's preparing to go into Canaan and take it according to the Lord's promise. And again, he takes to heart the Lord's charge. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. I have given this work to you. And Joshua now, as he thinks upon these things, he sees this man he doesn't know. This man coming to him with a sword in his hand. Now Joshua assumes this man is a warrior. He has a sword in his hand. He assumes he's a warrior. And as a warrior, he must choose which side he's going to be on, right? And Joshua at this point asks what would be a very legitimate question. He asks very simply, not knowing who he was, are you for us or are you against us? Are you for us or against us? Now, this is a wise question. Joshua did not take the time or ask the warrior to sit down and discuss how much they have in common, you know, as they try to figure out how to take the Canaanites. He didn't ask that. That's not his concern. He wants to know one thing. Are you for us or against us? Yes or no? That's what I want to know. And I have no doubt in my mind, this is just me, I have no doubt that if this warrior who approached Joshua had said to him, I am not for you, I am for your enemy, if Joshua had heard that, he would have taken his sword from his sheath and gone to battle. I have no doubt. He was ready to go. So Christ heard this question. Are you for us or are you against us? And how did Christ respond? What did he say? Verse 14, he said, Christ said, no. He said, rather, I indeed come now as captain of the host of the Lord. And see, as Christ always does, he just gets to the heart of the matter. The question, he turns around this question. The question is not whether or not Christ is on my side. The question is, am I on the side of Christ? That's the question. Am I on the side of Christ? The Lord says to Joshua, I have come as the captain of the host of the Lord. In other words, I have come as the captain of the armies of the angels of heaven. He says, I have come to lead you in conquering this land of Canaan. He says, I have come to reclaim that which is rightfully mine. He says, I have come to expel the evil that dominates this land. He says, I have come to establish my people in the land I promised to their father, a people I have set apart to worship me, a people, he says, who will glorify my name in this place, a people, he says, of my kingdom, a kingdom that rules over all the kingdoms of this world. Now, just for a moment, let's fast forward 1,400 years. Let's move forward 1,400 years. And Jesus of Nazareth is standing before the Sanhedrin, being falsely accused. And there's an amazing interchange in Matthew 26, beginning in verse 62. I want you to listen to what's happening here. The Pharisees are trying everything they can think of to falsely accuse him so they can kill him. That's what they want. They want to put him to death. And in verse 62 of Matthew 26, we read this. The high priest stood up and said to him, saying to Christ, do you not answer? What is it these men who are testifying against you? But Jesus kept silent. And when the high priest said to him, I adjure you by the living God, tell us whether or not you are the Christ, the Son of God. Now, what the high priest didn't realize that Christ had him exactly where he wanted him. This was the point he was waiting for. And Christ said this, you have said it yourself. Nevertheless, I tell you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. You see, not only does Christ at this moment, this precise moment, confirm to them that he is the eternal Son of God, but he also claims for himself to be the Son of Man, which, by the way, was his most frequent way of referring to himself as the Son of Man. Now, understand, this is not a reference to the fact that he is fully man, which, of course, he is. But what Christ is doing here, he makes it absolutely clear to the Pharisaic trial, to this tribunal, that he is the same one spoken by the prophet Daniel, whose kingdom is eternal, and whose king will one day come and claim it for his own. That's what he's saying. If you allow me, in Daniel chapter 7, as the Lord revealed to Daniel the nations, the kingdoms that would be raised up and taken back down in the course of the history of this world, as the Lord revealed that to Daniel, he also revealed that all of it would come to a point in the coming Son of Man. In Daniel chapter 7, verse 13, I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a Son of Man who was coming. And he came up to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him, and to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom. And all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. This is what Christ is saying to the Jews. And this is the Christ, beloved, who came to Joshua. As the final book of scriptures begin, as they open, you may recall that the Apostle John writes down his encounter with Christ, the resurrected, the ascended, and the glorified Christ. And if you'll allow me, let me read one more passage. Listen to how John now, after Christ has come and died and resurrected and ascended back to the Father, now John describes for us the eternal Christ, the King of Kings, the Son of God, and the Son of Man. And he writes in Revelation 1, beginning of verse 12, and when I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me, And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. In the middle of the lampstands, I saw one like the Son of Man, clothed in a robe reaching to his feet and girded across his chest with a golden sash. And his head and his hair were white like white wool, like snow. And his eyes were like the flame of fire. And his feet were burnished bronze. And when it had been made to glow in a furnace, his voice was like the sound of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars. And out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. And his face shone like the sun shining in its strength. This is the Christ that John saw. This is the Christ, beloved, who came to us in the form of a real man. Born of a woman. Born to Mary. Born in Bethlehem. Manifesting in every fiber of his being as fully God and fully man, obedience to the Father. Giving himself up to accept the judgment of God's wrath on our sake, on our behalf. Died, resurrected, ascended, glorified Christ. This is the one who came to Joshua. What did he do? He came and he conquered sin and death and every opposition to his rightful claim as King and Lord. This is what he did. And the scripture tells us to him is given authority to open the books of the history of this world. He will open the books. He'll be the one that judges the wicked and the righteous. Christ our Lord, fully God, fully man. Son of God, Son of Man. This is his mission. This is why he came. And finally, we'll draw this to a close. Christ also presents his essence. We see also the essence of Christ as he comes to Joshua. In verse 14, Joshua fell on his face. He fell on his face. And he bowed down and he said to him, "What has my Lord to say to his servant?" Do you hear that? "What has my Lord to say to his servant? Speak to me." The captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, "Remove your sandals. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. And so the captain of the Lord's hosts affirms who he is. And he tells Joshua, "Take off your sandals, because you're standing in a holy place." And these words are familiar to us, right? 40 years before, the Lord said the same thing to Moses. And the point is this: the ground is not holy because it's some special piece of property. Yeah? The ground is holy, why? Because its righteous creator is standing on top of it. It is holy. And you have to love this. Joshua responds as a true servant of the Lord. What does he say? He says, "Lord, speak to me. Tell me what you'd have me do." He falls to his face. Let me ask, when we come to the Lord, and this is important, when we come to the Lord in the time of private prayer and reading of the scriptures and worship, how do we come into his presence? When we come together as a people to worship him in spirit and truth, how do we come into his presence? Do we say something like, "Oh, hey, God"? Is that what we say? Is that how we come to his presence? That's not what Joshua did. He saw his Lord. He recognized. The Lord revealed himself. "I am your God. I am your King." And Joshua responded. He said, "Speak, Lord, that I may hear your command." Now, what a contrast. What a contrast between the world's view of Christ and that which is revealed in the scriptures. He's always been the captain of the host of the Lord. Especially when he humbled himself as a man and he came to this world as a bondservant to do that for us which we could never do on our own. He took the judgment of God's wrath upon himself for us. The captain of the host of the Lord. And I just think about the victory cry from heaven the day he was resurrected from the dead. Think about the victory reception when he came back to heaven. Son of God, Son of Man, Victor. The scripture says that he led captivity captive when he returned back to heaven, having completed all that his Father had given him to do. Captain of the host of the Lord. And Joshua sees this, and he responds in a way that pleases his Lord. And let me just say, beloved, as we close, let us all be that way. He is our Lord. He is captain of the host of the Lord, our Savior, our King. Let us honor him. Let us worship him as do his name. Let's pray. Now, Father, we thank you that you've given us such rich knowledge of yourself in the scriptures. And I pray, Father, that you would help us as we struggle many times just to give ourselves to time of worship, reading your word, praying to you. Lord, help us to see. Give us eyes to see who you are and what you've done and what you continue to do. Lord, let us be like Joshua. Speak, Lord, that we may obey your command. Let it be our heart's cry. We thank you, Father, that you are faithful, and we thank you for your word. We pray you'd use it in our hearts and minds, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would, turn to